One's a movie buff. One watches movies just enough. Together, fun will be had by all. This is Nadie and Katie at the Movies. Hello, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of Nadie and Katie at the Movies. I'm your host, Nathan, a.k.a. Nadie, of course. And with me on this episode, it's a twofer. Not only do I have my good friend Katie here, but because of the movie we're talking about today, my other good friend, brilliant director extraordinaire, Juddy. Oh, and here's Katie. Hi, Katie.
Yeah, I'm just chopped liver now. I'm folding laundry and recording a podcast at the same time. I mean, that takes talent, right?
But you know what really takes talent? What really takes talent is to make a brilliant cartoon. And that's what we're going to talk about today on our first episode of March. We're talking about the classic 1999, I believe it came out, The Iron Giant, directed by Brad Bird. I believe this was his directorial debut in the animated film verse. But before we can talk about this movie, we got to go over the synopsis. So The Iron Giant is about a young boy who befriends a giant robot from outer space that a paranoid government agent wants to destroy. The Iron Giant stars Eli Maranthiel, probably said his name wrong, Harry Connick Jr., Jennifer Aniston, and surprise voiceover of the Iron Giant himself. I don't know if you knew this, Katie, but it is Vin Diesel, or
I am Groot.
Wait, that's totally, I mean, I didn't know that until I looked it up, and it totally checks out. I feel like that is the Groot voice.
Yeah, this movie had like big, pretty big name people in it. I mean, it got Shooter McGavin from Happy Gilmore plays the paranoid agent. You have,
which was incredible.
You have, I think it was Frasier's dad plays the general. And so you just got it's like an all-star cast of people. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it before we talk about our likes and dislikes. This is probably one of my favorite cartoons of all time. Like, seriously, just watching it again gave me all the giggles, gave me all the feels that I had when I first watched it. I just think it's brilliant. So let's just get right into Katie and Judson's likes and dislikes.
Well, yeah. And I want to know, so you obviously watched this like growing up. Did you watch it like close to when it came out? And then I want to know same for Juddy. If you'd watch it, I'd never seen this before. So I didn't have maybe the nostalgia feel. It was me seeing it for the first time as an adult.
I don't think I saw it when it first came out, but I saw it like later on and I just loved it. I thought it was hilarious. I think the story is great. I think the voice, like the people who did the voices just were perfectly cast as these characters. I loved every second of it. Judson, did you see this when it first came out in 1999? How old were you?
I was actually born in 1999, so it's kind
so
of
you saw it when
meant
it first
to be.
Came out.
Yeah, straight out of the womb into the theaters. That was part of the destiny. No, I think I first came across this. It was a Blockbuster rental, and so it was really early on, and it was a big touchstone growing up. You know, you can't really explain why you latch on to certain media as a kid, but I latched onto this, and I'm very glad for it because it's just incredible. And so I'll just get right into the full review. Like, it is, every time I watch it, and it's quite often too, I would say like monthly, I would have a monthly viewing, I still get hit with every single beat, even though I know what's about to come around the corner in the story, it still gets me every single time. Every comedic beat, every sweet, somber moment, and of course that ending. It's fantastically written. It's actually really, I know it's an all-star cast, and it's not just Jennifer Aniston is phoning it in. Like, they are delivering. The morals in the story, the political aspect, how it taught me just a little bit about history. Oh my goodness. It was just, absolutely fantastic. So yeah, this is my favorite movie of all time too. And I know nostalgia is tied to it, but over the years, it still holds up over time is what I'm trying to say. So it has easily come through and became my favorite movie of all time. So yeah.
See, that is incredible. And I feel like I looked up some reviews online, just curious what people thought. And that was a big thing. It's exactly what you said. It's like part of their life, like since they saw it. So it is interesting. Both of y'all have seen it. I'm coming at it from a totally different perspective, and I can validate, you know, what you're saying. Sometimes we do give a little too much credit to those childhood movies because, you know, this hit us when we were kids. I will say right now, I'm not going to call it my favorite movie of all time or my favorite cartoon, but it was an incredible movie, and I have not stopped talking about it since I watched it. I have like every friend group I've hung out with, I'm like, have you seen Iron Giant? You should see Iron Giant. And that says a lot. That says a lot that I've been promoting it a lot. Man, it is good. It is right in my category of made me laugh, made me cry. So entertaining for sure. So, I mean, there's too many good things. I don't anticipate a lot of negatives. I'm sure Judson, if this is one of your favorites, can you share a little bit about the total flop this thing was? I mean, it's just interesting to hear what it is now and what it was when it came out.
It tragically flopped when it first came out. I think I want to say there is a history with Disney not wanting to buy it or something like that. And then Warner Brothers eventually picking it up, and it just absolutely bombed. I also want to say another Disney movie came at the same time as this, and that kind of outdid it. I might be wrong on my history, but that's what I want to say. And it really is unfortunate that it never kind of got its flowers, except years and years down the pipeline. And some would even argue that it still has it.
Well, yeah, I looked it up. There's no, I mean, so we're going on our 250 IMDb movies. And I mean, it's definitely not at the bottom. It's, first of all, it's in a top list of movies, and it beat out Aladdin, which I mean, my mind is a classic. But yeah, no awards, like, I mean, random small awards, but no major awards given to this. And like you said, the box office was like terrible. One of my big likes was the story and I think you said this, Judson, the morality. Like, this is a movie I could show my kid and have so many different conversations about what it means to be a friend to someone different than you, right? This is kind of based on like the Red Scare time with, you know, communism and how he chose to interact with, how Dean, the older guy, chooses to just interact with the giant and the child. I feel like it shows you how you can choose if you're a good person or not. I mean, I think that's a huge theme, is like, you decide. There's nothing, no one's going to tell you who to be. And that's another huge, huge theme. And then of course, being a Christian, you know, the sacrifice of someone sacrificing themselves to save others. I mean, if that doesn't hit you, then you're like not human. I mean, I'm going to tell you guys right now, my husband and I, full blown, there are tears streaming down both of our faces when we watched this movie last week.
I just looked it up. Basically, the big reason why this movie flopped was because Warner Brothers didn't really want to promote it because it was an original idea and it wasn't attached to a franchise. Kind of like today, a lot of original movies don't do that well because it's all about franchise. It's all about what the next one's going to be, which I will talk about one of my dislikes that I didn't originally put on my list. It's the fact that they teased the crap out of a sequel and they never delivered. That ending left it open for a second Iron Giant and they never freaking delivered, which I think it might be just that mindset of today is I need another one, because the movie was really, really good. And the characters were just really, really good. And they set up, like I said, they set up a sequel and it never happened. And it's probably because of how badly it did at the box office. And it just comes to show you that Warner Brothers has just never learned. They just have never learned. But another dislike I had is this is a cartoon and there is some language. There is some language, which surprised me the first time I watched it, because again, it was a cartoon. But that would be my only real dislike is, you know, I wouldn't be able to show my kids until they're like a certain age because of some of the things that are said.
I think that was what makes it WB. And I watched some interviews of the director, and he just kept talking about how he's like, we're not Disney. We're not going to put a sidekick character you can make a plush doll out of. Like, we're not going to play those little games. We're not going to make it all like super duper PG or G, you know, and we're not going to make it a musical. There was supposedly, this was supposed to be a musical, and the director was like, no, we're not doing that.
I mean, I can't imagine Vin Diesel as the robot just starting to sing. I just, no. This movie is just perfect. I think this is a perfect movie. It's just perfect.
I know, but what Katie is it? What is it? Is not... Your favorite part about it? What, I mean, is it the characters or is it the story?
All of the above. If this is a multiple choice, I'd say D. All of the above. I think the animation holds up. It's 2024, and the animation is still beautiful. It's just pristine. Another dislike is that I wasn't able to see it on the big screen. I think this would be amazing to watch. I think they need to re-release it on the big screen. It would help the Warner Brothers a lot because they're sucking at movies nowadays. The story we've already talked about. I think it's a timeless story. It's something we've probably seen before, but it's just perfect. And the voice acting, I think it was just wonderfully cast. I will say Harry Connick Jr. at first, it kind of takes a little bit to get used to his voice for the character. If you know Harry Connick Jr., his voice is, I don't know. But as the movie goes on, you start getting more and more comfortable with his voice as that character.
So Jetty, you love this movie, wanted to be on, you said you guys are doing Iron Giant. I have got to get on the episode. So if we love everything about it, what's maybe a particular scene that strikes you or a moment that you feel like hits you the most?
Especially as I get older, because of course, watching it as a kid, it's going to be that ending moment. And also, I was talking earlier about this movie being written so well. When I was watching this as a kid, I really was Hogarth, who, you know, if you had the... a giant robot at your disposal, you're going to want to sit in a car and then go really, really fast. You're going to want to like play lasers with them. And like, it's so well written, and not the obnoxious kid that has to be brave and do the thing. You're just being a little kid and having fun. And like, I think it's really well written in that way. And so I identified with those fun moments as a kid, but as I get older, to answer your question, it's the choir moments that have been really, really touching for me. So for instance, specific scenes, the deer scene is really intimate and sweet. Anytime that Hogarth and the giant are talking, you have this kid who is very immature and, you know, living his best life and doing arguably irresponsible things, is trying to teach the way of the world to a giant. And he's being the mature one in this situation is really, really interesting to see in that dynamic. So I would definitely have to say the quiet, intimate moments, you know, you stay, I go, when they first are talking and sitting rockin' tree. Those scenes have been really, really hitting for me on the more recent watchings. And that's just the dynamic and voice line delivery. And just, you can really tell that there's something special there with the connection. And yeah, I absolutely love it.
Justin, I'm actually surprised you didn't mention one of the best parts of the movie when the giant robot hand is in the kitchen and Hogarth is praying.
Oh my gosh.
Every time I watch this movie, I die laughing at that part. Like, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, stop the podcast, watch this movie, just watch it, because I'm immature. So I like the immature, funny moments. But the prayer part is seriously one of my favorite parts. And I didn't know it was Shooter McGavin playing the agent until I looked it up for this podcast. But I think he's hilarious. I just love this movie. I love it.
The prayer was hilarious. But I'm going to have to say the big ending, as corny as it is, that was the big part for me. I mean, again, husband and I both just full on tears coming down our faces because it's the idea of the sacrifice. It's the like callbacks to the quotes that like Judson said of where he says, you stay, I go. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. It's such an intense moment. And then you even just can think more deeply about it. Like, he does another callback to Superman. So he's, it goes back to that given a choice of like, you have the ability to change. You decide who you are. And so he's like, decides, I'm not going to be the evil killing machine. I'm going to be Superman. And like, right before he takes his life by saving everybody, he like does the little like Superman. And I'm going to just start crying even harder. It's just too good. It's just too good. I really, really liked it. I think some of those quotes are just very, very weighty. Have you heard about the deleted scene?
I don't know what you guys watched this on. I'm sure it's on a streaming site somewhere. But before I, you know, wanted to look up exactly where it was streaming, I just pulled out my good old Signature Collection Blu-ray and popped that guy in and watched the signature version of it, which included the deleted scene in the movie. And where it's placed is when they first bring Giant to the junkyard. And mild spoilers if you're watching this without watching the movie, again, go see it. If you don't know what it is, the Giant is having a nightmare, and it's kind of giving us little teases and glimpses of his home planet. And there's like a plethora of giants, and they're all nuclear war machines, and they're marching through, and it's and we're seeing that through Dean's TV. And he wakes up in the middle of it and is like, oh, what's going on? And then it just kind of fades out. But it's really interesting. I'm glad they cut it because it adds more mystery to the Giant's origins.
Yes.
But rewatching it or rewatching the scene and spliced in there is really, really neat to kind of see what more is there, what more visuals and what where did, you know, get more of the lore from the Giant's origins. But watching it for the first time, click Katie, I'm glad you didn't see that during the first initial cut of it.
Well, just I think it takes away from the innocence that you're sensing from the Giant. Yep. I mean, truly, you want someone who you really want a full-fledged vote for or root for. And I think that would make it difficult. And it gets your brain thinking the wrong direction. Like, now I'm thinking about where these other robots are. And if he gets fixed, are the other ones coming? And is that going to be the sequel? So yeah, I think it would have distracted a ton from, but like you said, you definitely leave the movie being like, okay, but really, like, what is his purpose? And why was he going to do like really bad stuff? And I don't know, like Nathan said, there's no sequel. So what happens when he reassembles? He's not near Hogarth. What's he fitting to do?
And I did want to ask while we're talking about that sequel, like, as much as I want to see more Hogarth and more Giant, I am thinking about the possibility of like, what would a sequel come from? He's over in Iceland, and yeah, that's it. Even if they never meet up again, you kind of know he's okay. And I didn't want to see anymore. And in fact, if we never got that scene in Iceland, I still would have been equally happy. You just see the little screw rolling out, Autobots roll out, and roll credits. I just think like, what would that mean if he were to come back? And there, what would the story be for Iron Giant 2? And I think it would kind of undo his choice in the ending. So I'm glad we don't have
people of Iceland, Judson. He saved the people of Iceland.
Actually, I was kind of thinking more the biblical route, right? So if he's Jesus, you know, 3 days later, comes back, he would probably just appear to everybody. And
then at the end, he would just ascend.
Yeah, exactly.
Into space.
Exactly. All right. Well, should we rate this incredible movie?
Yes, let's. Katie, since this was your first viewing, what would you rate The Iron Giant 1 to 6 stars?
It's not one I'm going to watch once a month, like Judson said, just because I am a very joyous, cheerful, want dumb, silly things that make me smile kind of movie watcher. But I will watch it again and I will show it to my child. So I'm going to give this a 5.5.
Judson, what do you think?
So this is going to be a 1 out of 6 stars. I don't. No, I'm kidding. No, it's easily 6 out of 6. It's my favorite movie ever. And I also wanted to clarify that it took me many, many watchings for me to solidify this is my favorite viewing. Like, I made sure to sit with that, and I can't say it for any other movie. So yeah, 6 out of 6.
Yeah, it's not my favorite movie of all time, but it is my favorite cartoon of all time. So I'm going to give it a big old 6 out of 6 as well. I think it's perfect. Story, animation, voice acting, it's just great. It's a great movie. So that is The Iron Giant. It is fantastic. Judson, thank you for joining us. Judson is also going to be joining us on our Oscar prediction episode. Can't wait for that. It's coming up soon. By the time this episode drops, I will have finished my journey of watching all those movies. And speaking of watching movies, we got another one coming up. Take a listen to what we're going to be reviewing next week.
Announcing the return of the most glamorous motion picture ever made, David O. Selznick and Alfred Hitchcock bring you the Grand Slam Prize winner that made motion picture history. Winner of the Academy Award, voted by America's critics as the best picture of the year. And now, as a result of a national poll, winning new honors as audiences throughout the country vote to see it again. The Selznick Studios successor to Gone with the Wind, Rebecca, brought to the screen with all the warmth and emotion that made millions of readers acclaim Daphne du Maurier's bestseller as the most exciting love story of our time. The fascinating Max de Winter lives on the screen in the person of Laurence Olivier.
Why, it's Max de Winter.
How do you know?
The shy, unsophisticated young girl who dared to follow in the footsteps of the beautiful Rebecca is portrayed by lovely Joan Fontaine.
How could I ask you to love me when I knew you loved Rebecca still? Whenever you touched me, I knew you were comparing me with Rebecca.
What is the mystery of Rebecca? What dread secret is hidden within the silent walls of Manderley?
Not only in this room, it's in all the rooms in the house. I can almost hear it now. Do you think the dead come back and watch the living?
Tell me, is Mrs. Van Hopper a friend of yours or just a relation?
No, she's my employer. I'm what is known as a paid companion.
I didn't know companionship could be bought.
There is mystery, love, and laughter in Rebecca, the motion picture still unsurpassed for suspenseful romance.
We're diving right into the classic classics with an Alfred Hitchcock classic, Rebecca, starring Laurence Olivier and Joan Fontaine, two names that Katie probably has no idea who they are. Can't wait.
I'm excited.
It's Alfred Hitchcock. Come on.
So my kid's not going to watch this one with me. Got it.
I mean, from what I remember of watching it, there's no like language. It's not bad. He could probably sit through it. He'll probably fall asleep. So that is what we're going to be reviewing next week. Katie, Judson, or myself, do we have anything we want to say at the end of this episode?
You are who you choose to be.
Where's the giant, Mansley?
Get out of here, Satan.
Thanks for listening to Nady and Katie at the Movies. Feel free to leave us a review so people can find the show. Follow us on all our social media platforms, and if there's a movie that you want us to watch, feel free to contact us at nadyandkatie@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.